Follow the show on Instagram at Jocks Roundtable.
But we got to start with the developing news that happened last night, right when I was going to bed. Antonio Brown turns himself in to a jail down in Florida. Arrest warrants out for three felony charges, including felony burglary, a felony battery charge, and a misdemeanor charge on something else. But he has to turn himself in last night, and it continues down a road that has been amazing since really the last 12, 18 months of Antonio Brown's career. Have you seen anybody? There's another word for this, but I'll just say throw it all away like this in such a quick amount of time as Antonio Brown. And as I say that, I instantly go back to Aaron Hernandez, but it seemed like even he did that in a much more difficult way over a period of time. But for Antonio Brown just to do this in 18 months, like Drew Rosenhaus says, Lance and Ryan, I'm worried about his mental health.
Yeah, you know, Brown, I mean, this kid is 31. You go back a year ago, we would have said definitely a top five, maybe a top three wide receiver in the NFL. Had a $39 million deal. There was so much excitement going in to last year's season with the Raiders and Hard Knocks, and Antonio Brown was one of the big guys that was profiled, and there was just so much potential there. And I really do wonder for the or I worry for the well-being of Antonio Brown, because this has got to be a mental illness.
Yeah, you know, and you guys have listened to this show long enough to know we like to laugh at things, and frequently we laugh at things that you consider inappropriate for us to laugh at, and that happens. And this was funny for a little while, but it quit being funny at some point, because I'm with you. There is obviously something not quite right with Antonio Brown. And of course, everyone is going to point to CTE. I mean, that's the immediate excuse for everything now. And while it's got some validity, it can't always be the answer. We can't just always say, okay, well, this guy's taking too many shots to the head. He's lost his mind. I mean, some people just make bad decisions, right, in life. And Antonio Brown clearly made some. Why he did it, I don't know. But he clearly made some bad decisions, because this guy has gone from being perhaps the best receiver in the game to untouchable by NFL franchises, and now in jail.
You know, and unfortunately, it ends one of two ways. I mean, right now, as you said, he's wearing a jumper and he's in county this morning. But when you start pulling guys out of their truck cabs and you start throwing rocks at guys, there are guys out there that will shoot you dead.
Yeah.
And so it ends either locked up or in the morgue.
Right.
And that's what you fear for a guy like Antonio Brown. And, you know, not making light of the situation, but seriously, the direction this thing is going, it ain't good.
No. Go back and, like Jim mentioned, the Aaron Hernandez Netflix documentary, the Alexander Bradley guy that, you know, Aaron Hernandez was accused of shooting him through his eye. And he's on the stand and they said, "You did not report this to police. Why?" And he said, "Oh, I wanted to handle it myself."
That's right.
I mean, that's
Wild Wild West right there.
Yeah. And as Dan Wetzel said, and this was so good, Dan was so good in that documentary, as Dan said, Aaron Hernandez knew Alexander Bradley had the means to kill him, and he was on the run for him the rest of his life. And you get on the wrong side of somebody like that, they don't mind killing you.
Rockstar cut number 19, Adam Schefter, because this guy going to the Raiders was one of the best receivers, Antonio Brown, in the NFL, on the planet. A lot of people wanted him. Now he's got to handle these charges. He's got a sexual assault lawsuit in civil court that he's having to deal with, and other things. Adam Schefter on Antonio Brown's football future.
From a football standpoint, it's hard right now to see him playing in the NFL again. It's hard right now. He'll be 32 years old this summer. We're waiting a ruling from the league, which will take into consideration all these additional incidents. And so he's going to face additional discipline, not to mention, what kind of trust level would there be from a team that would want to employ Antonio Brown right now? I don't think anybody would.
$4,000 getting his designer clothes shipped to him in his gated community in Hollywood, where the neighbors say there's been several complaints against him. And
the way he was degrading police, you guys have seen the video.
Yeah, I have.
It blows me away.
Yeah. So this guy's going to have no money. I mean, it's leaking out now. Just with lawyers that he's had to have. He's got his trainer there with him. The lawyer in this one lawsuit, he'll have to have a different lawyer here.
And he hasn't been collecting paychecks for 2 years now,
and
right?
And he's got civil suits coming up with the sexual assaults.
That's when it's going to get really bad, because then you're going to start losing your hangers-on.
Oh, yeah, that's when the friends disappear. You end up by yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and then you really do worry for the well-being of Antonio Brown.
Right.
You know, here's the thing, though. Talent outweighs all. And if you did some kind of recourse and you went into rehab and, you know, somehow you come up with this public apology and he was to get straight, I'm not saying it would happen, but by next training camp, I mean, somebody would take a shot.
They'd take a shot, yeah. I don't know that he could.
He's too talented.
He is. I don't know how productive he could still be in the league. I mean, you take that much time off, you lose your skills.
That's what I was going to say. And he's 31. I mean, he's getting to that age. Yeah. Can he? Is he going to lose this step? What happens to Antonio Brown?
How many games did he play this year? One or two?
He caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he scored in the game he played.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. We all went to, I guarantee you, everybody listening to us, and some of you may have been that guy, and I hope you've been able to rebound, but everybody listening to us and all of us went to school with that guy that had all the talent in the world and couldn't get his head on straight and he threw it away, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that guy. Now, that's on a high school level. And you're like, boy, I would like to have seen what so-and-so could have done, man.
Well, I think we can name one of every major college program. Too.
Probably so. But boy, it's at different stakes when this kind of money is on the line. I mean, the guy in high school that threw all the talent away because he wanted to smoke weed or drink all the time or whatever, didn't work hard, didn't make the grades. You know, you didn't know if he was going to go be a stud at college. We've seen Antonio Brown go from Central Michigan to the NFL and become the best receiver in the game. You know what he threw away. He threw away millions of dollars.
That's right. You should have enough money to not have these kind of financial worries the rest of your life.
Correct.
$4,000 of a delivery to you shouldn't have been a big deal.
Right? It should be a $20 bill to most of us.
You should have peeled that out of your pocket.
Right. Have that cash
money as he could have made.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where this ends up for him, but, you know, unfortunately, he's probably beyond his money-making years in the NFL. I don't know what you fall back on if you're Antonio Brown. I mean, that's the problem that faces a lot of NFL guys. Now, that's if he's even out of jail. But that's the problem that faces these NFL guys. If you're not good enough to be on TV, and there are only so many spots, and you haven't been good with your money, what do you do after your career?
For all the people that will line up and complain about college athletics, at least when you're in college, there's a support system around you that helps you through everything that's going on in your life. For the most part, it's not 100%, but there is a great support system at every university. No matter how small you are, there is somebody there, a coach, a counselor, a teacher, a Brittany Wagner, somebody there that you can go in and talk to. When you get out into the professional world,
you shouldn't have to have it. I'm paying you.
You shouldn't have to have it.
Yeah.
But it is needed by some of these people, and you can see it when it comes off on the rails. It happens very quickly.
Well, I'm surprised you don't have more of those people, though. And you've got like an insulation team around, and you've got like a Ray Donovan where there is a problem with and obviously this guy is not employed by a team right now, but if there is a problem with a guy delivering your goods that you don't want to pay $4,000 to and you throw a rock in his truck and try to drag him out, there's a Ray Donovan that shows up that covers this situation up before it goes public.
Well, I mean, but I'll go back to the Aaron Hernandez situation. At very best case, he's riding along with people that are committing and trying to commit murders, right? I mean, that's the best case scenario for him. Now, court, you know, at least one court case showed that he was actually the trigger man. One got thrown out where they don't know who the trigger man was. But nobody, even his attorneys, dispute that he was in the presence when it happened, right? They couldn't even dispute that. And if you believe that documentary, nobody at the Patriots had any sort of idea this was going on. And that is really difficult to believe, isn't it?
It is, that they had to be looking the other way.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe as much as I've gotten it. They had just invested $40 million in Aaron Hernandez. And nobody knows this guy's riding along on murders? Nobody.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, we work with 60-plus employees up here at
You think
Ulis.
Any of them have ridden along on a murder recently?
Well, I'm not saying that. I guarantee you there are people listening to us that will go to a job today that are actually working with somebody that's killed somebody and they don't know it.
Maybe so, but I don't know that they got $40 million invested in that person. That was kind of, I'm backing up your point. I mean, you would think, Lance, if you've got $40 million invested, you would know everything about this person.
I did the math not long ago. We spend more time, the four of us, the five of us, the six of us, than we do with the majority of our family or friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'll go somewhere this weekend. You guys will do your own thing. You have no idea what I'm doing at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't.
No, but I always look forward to the story.
Yeah, but I mean, I know you've got a pretty good feeling that I'm not riding around with a bunch of convicts and we're doing drive-bys, but I'm just saying you have no idea what people are doing on their own.
And don't forget now, Antonio Brown said the NFL had to have him. I mean, he genuinely believed the NFL couldn't go on to be as popular as it is without him, which is, you know, that's just ego, right? I mean, there is not one single player in the NFL that if they walked away, the NFL will be less popular. That league is so insulated by its popularity, and much less a receiver. If anybody would do it, it'd be a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm interested on why we think Urban Meyer and those guys knew what he was doing at Florida, but
I would say more so that Urban Meyer's responsible for stuff outside of guys like Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
But my professional team has a security team that can go and spy on you and follow you around and do research on you.
I probably cover things up for you.
And I'm not saying that Alabama and Florida and Auburn don't have that kind of technology or manpower, but I would expect the Patriots to have it as much as I would Florida.
I find it hard to believe, Brown and Dunaway, that Bill Belichick, with the short leash he's got, if he knew criminal activity was going on, he wants nothing to do with that. Remember, at the height of Aaron Hernandez, he had not just Aaron Hernandez, he had Gronkowski. Your number two, he was the number two tight end as good as he was. So he was expendable.
Yeah, he also was, but they were paying him $40 million, though. I mean, $40 million is not a small amount of money. I think it was a five-year, $40 million deal.
But still not worth it for Belichick to risk anything like that. I'm saying, to believe that he had any idea any of this was going on. On the other side, what I've seen, I truly believe that Urban Meyer was covering things up.
Yeah, genuine. I think the way the NFL normally operates is, the contract that we could cut you at any time and you're going to be out anything but the guarantee, basically, that's incentive enough for you to keep your nose clean.
There needs to be a kill clause, though. If you kill somebody, then the contract should be null and void.
Well, I'd like to think you wouldn't have to spell that out.
Yeah.
But
there's a moral clause in our contract.
Oh, there's a kill clause?
There's no dead weight with that contract. I don't care if it's $40 million guaranteed. You kill somebody, it's null and void.
Yeah, that should be a basic yes.
It's going to be, boilerplate. I wasn't convicted.
Yeah.
Well, now it could be the Aaron Hernandez clause. This could be included in everybody's contract professionally moving forward.
But if you watch the documentary, I'd forgotten how, by him committing suicide while the case was on appeal, technically everything was thrown out, and they were trying to get their money from the Patriots.
That's right.
Spoiler alert. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so technically he's not listed anywhere as being convicted as a murderer.
Yeah, and they changed that law because of that, I think. It's what they tell you at the end of the documentary.
And by the way, jumping ahead, how much of his estate actually was left over?
It couldn't have been much.
Bobby the Brain 21, why even give Antonio Brown 30 seconds of your airtime? Well, it's what we're discussing here. There's somebody on every high school team, on every college team, and on every professional team that is one bad decision from turning into two bad decisions, three bad decisions, and ending up where the Antonio Brown is. And dare I say, it's a cautionary tale. That's why we give it 30 seconds off the top of the show tonight. But it got me thinking, Brown and LT and Rockstar, are there things that we take for granted in sports right now? The first one that popped to mind for me was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together with the New England Patriots in that dynasty. You know, you can love the Patriots, you can hate the Patriots, the dynasty and stuff, but when it goes away, I think there will be something missing in the NFL when those two aren't together. If Tom Brady is in a Raider uniform or a Chargers uniform next year, you know, we probably have taken for granted the greatness of Brady and Belichick for a while.
Well, I think we've got a dynamic right now that we're never going to see again. And I know you love when I come with the absolutes, but right now you have got arguably the greatest player in the history of the NFL. You've definitely got the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. And when will you see those two paired up again and for the longevity that they had? And, you know, the sad thing, I guess, for Patriot fans, not for a lot of people out there, especially for a guy like Ryan Brown who pulls for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I'd love to see it end at any moment.
Is this thing, it seems to be ended. It really does.
It does.
I know that's easy to say, but based on what we saw this year and based on the age of these guys, and I agree with you, Dunaway. I mean, I don't want to say I took it for granted because I saw a lot of Patriot wins. And humble brag here, I was fortunate enough to actually be in person to see a lot of Tom Brady's Super Bowl wins. But this time seems to be past, and I don't think we'll ever see it again.
I mean, at the end of the regular season, I sat in my house and watched the Dolphins go to New England and beat the Patriots, which they have not done very often in the Belichick-Brady run. And it was the most average I have seen the Patriots look under Belichick. And that's been a long run now. And it does feel like it's over.
And that was a game they had to have.
Yeah, they needed to get that to get the bye.
To get the bye. And so that game's so important, and you're a double-digit favorite against a Miami team that's going to be selecting fifth in the NFL draft, and you can't win that game in Week 17. Yeah,
and Miami was the better team. It was no fluke. I mean, Miami just outplayed them. It wasn't like it was a bunch of turnovers and stuff like that.
I think, in a way, Alabama fans may have taken some of this Nick Saban dynasty run for granted. I mean, I know you've enjoyed the ride, but the regular season part of it where, you know, the wins almost seemed automatic, you almost wished the regular season away to get to, you know, the Iron Bowl or the LSU game and then to the playoffs. And I know it's going to sound horrible, but it's been 2 years since you've won a national championship. And by anybody's standards, that's not very long. But you wonder, you know, what you wonder what the future holds. And you take for granted how great that has been in recent years. And I wonder, away from those two obvious, the two greatest coaches at their level and some of the greatest players, are there any other things that you take for granted in life or sports?
Greg from Pell City, he's got a very good one on Twitter. He said, "We take for granted how easy it is to watch sports on TV now." He said, "Take my kids back to the 80s. They'd freak out not being able to watch every Bama game or an NBA game every night." And that was so true.
Yeah, and I think it dilutes it a little bit.
It does.
Based on this, you know, I mean, it's different for us now because, you know, me being a Lakers fan, I used to watch all the games with League Pass, and I've still got League Pass, but I can't stay up till a 9:30 tip and stay up till midnight when we're getting up at, you know, 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. But back before the Lakers were so accessible, you know, I remember going to PT's to watch a Lakers-Sonics game on satellite. And just being so excited to have the accessibility of watching a regular season Lakers game. And now you can absolutely, you know, back to Dayton. If you want to watch Dayton, you know, CBS Sports Network is going to have Dayton on. You can find almost any team at any time.
I mean, Wednesday night, I've got one of my TVs on a channel that has got a camera dedicated only to Zion Williamson. I mean, they're not showing the game. They're showing a player in the game. That's where we've come now. I mean, we're used to stuff like that.
Is there a Power 5 college football team that you can't find every Saturday?
You know, you had Oklahoma playing a pay-per-view game against Army last year, and I didn't even realize pay-per-view games still existed.
2 years ago now. Well, last year, 18. That's what you're saying. Didn't you say, Brown, and I think this is correct, that the Big 12 had some internet-only games this year, conference games?
I don't know if it's internet-only, but I do know that I tried, gosh, I can't remember when it was. Iowa State was playing Kansas State, maybe? It was a Big 12 game, and I tried to pull it up on the ESPN app on my TV, and it was ESPN Plus,
right?
So which is technically pay-per-view.
That was Oklahoma State, Kansas State. I pulled the same one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you had to go to, you know,
you had to pay for it.
Yeah, your internet or behind a paywall to get to it. You know, we are spoiled in the SEC because even if Vanderbilt played Abilene Christian, that's going to be either on the SEC network or ESPNU or somewhere.
Yeah, same Big Ten. I mean, you watch Rutgers every single game.
Every single game is broadcast somewhere.
What was the Facebook played a couple games, basketball games?
Stadium. Like, I think.
CUSA.
Yeah, CUSA's, some of their football games are Facebook only, I think.
Yeah.
But still.
That's still an option.
You've got a way to watch it. 20 years ago, that game's not even pay-per-view. It's radio only.
Jeremiah's in Birmingham next with us. Say good morning, Jeremiah. How are you?
Doing well. How y'all guys doing?
Great, man.
I just want to say, you know, make a point about New England, Alabama. It's hard for me to, you know, appreciate what they did. You know, I'm a Rams fan. When I just think about New England, man, I just think about all the cheating, man. So it's just hard for me to, you know, appreciate what they did because we don't know if it was real or, you know, it was, you know, really cheating involved. You know, it's just hard for me to really appreciate it. And
I don't want to sound like a Boston sportscaster here. It was real and it was spectacular.
It sounds like, as far as like Alabama, it sounds like you wanted to say it down the way. It sounds like you wanted to say it. Why you just didn't say it?
Thank you, Jeremiah.
You're the man, Jeremiah.
A lot of people latch on to Deflategate. I don't think there was anything to that. I mean, I think that was a bunch of ended up in the long run. Did that really impact anything?
No.
Yeah, if a man wants to throw softballs around, he should be able to do that on a Sunday.
I mean, you got to have some sort of standards, I get, but I just don't think anything was gained.
I mean, Spygate, a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit different. And this most recent one, we'll see if anything ever comes of that.
6:43 on the show. More college football later in the show as we get into that. But one interesting note happening yesterday, we get the salary for Todd Monken over at Georgia, $1.1 million, his starting salary as an offensive coordinator. That's nice. You come in, you're making over $1 million coming back to college to call plays.
You know, it's amazing, though. When I heard his salary yesterday, I don't want to say it underwhelmed me.
Well, the same day, Kevin Steele got $2.5 million.
And that's the reason it did. And, you know, you go back, and I remember when Marvin Lewis was the first million-dollar coordinator in the NFL under Steve Spurrier, and that wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, but Monken gets $1.1 million. Last year, if I read correctly, Sark in Tuscaloosa was the highest-paid offensive coordinator at $1.5 million. So you're telling me we're paying the elite defensive coordinator $1 million more than the highest paid OC was
last
year.
Kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
more headaches for the DC right now.
It really is, but it's also it's a capitalist market, right? Supply and demand.
That's right.
Defense is on demand.
All right. The NASCAR season isn't too far away, starting down in Daytona. Seems like those guys live down there for a month. One of those guys is Brad Keselowski, who's with us now. Brad, welcome in. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm just enjoying my month off.
Yeah, so what, I mean, I got the joke there.
Until we call. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, you were enjoying your month off, now you're on with us. What is the most fun thing you do in the off season? Is there anything you annually do when you've got the downtime in the off season?
Annually? Ooh.
And it doesn't have to be. If there's something you did this year that's fun, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, this year, my wife and I, we had a baby. I don't know, that's not an annual thing. At least I don't think it is. God help me if it does become a single thing.
You can control that, by the way.
I definitely. Hey, we both had an influence on that one. It's been good. We're really blessed with that. You know, kind of when the season's over in NASCAR, it's all this. Hey, let's go on vacation. And you know, NASCAR is very much a lot of travel. You know, 38 weeks, and there's a couple weeks that are close to your home, but not very many. And when that's all said and done, you really don't want to travel. I'd rather just, you know, sit on my couch and watch some football games. So does that count? I don't know.
That's what we do.
That's my annual off-season tradition, yeah. I do the whole Al Bundy, one hand in your pants and the other hand in a beer, so watch a football game.
Are there certain things in the off-season you do, though, that help perfect your craft once you get back in the car?
Oh, sure, but I'm not going to tell you.
Trade secrets?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, easier answer then. Are there other drivers that you talk to a lot in the off season?
Yeah, my teammates. We'll talk to them, you know, probably once a week or more. You know, we try to talk about what we need to be the best we can be and all those good things. And, you know, push each other and push our team to be the best it can be.
Is there ever a fear for you getting burned out? Because it is such a short off season. You started off by saying you're 1 month off, and that is absolutely the truth. Such a short off season, and your sponsor meetings, your racing, the testing, and all that. You guys work 11 months out of the year. Do you ever worry about burning out?
Oh, absolutely. But then you remember that there's other people that have to work 12 months a year, so. It doesn't sound so bad working 11 months.
Anytime a hobby, and I don't know if this started as a hobby for you or if you envisioned it being a job, but a lot of times hobbies turn into jobs and it does lose the fun. You're able to still find fun in it though, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, the fun is when you win. The problem is that winning's really hard. There's a lot of competition, so you can't win a lot. In fact, you know, if you can win one out of every 10, you know, you're kind of like a Hall of Famer. You try to keep that in mind, but, you know, it still is a privilege to be a race car driver, whether you have a good day or a bad day, it beats having a normal job.
Now, when you get some of these months off or this month off and you're watching football, are you more of a college football on Saturday or NFL on Sunday?
Both. Oh, I love both. I just love being able to sit on the couch, to be quite honest with you, and enjoy normal life. I grew up a Michigan football fan, which, you know, unfortunately... that didn't go very well.
Are you a Harbaugh guy, though?
But I like him. Yeah, I like Jim. He's been nice to me, at least. Of course, you know, we want to win the big games. We haven't been able to do that. I'm trying to keep the faith, trying to be positive here. You can't win if you're not positive.
Brad Keselowski is with us as they get ready to go to Daytona. It's kind of weird, like you're an NFL fan, too. I believe a Lions fan. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Gosh, man, you just keep rubbing it in.
Yeah, gotta stay positive.
There was a reason I was asking that.
I am a Michigan football fan and a Detroit Lions football fan, and both of them had, you know, two of probably the worst seasons you could have.
Yeah. So, I was just going to ask, you know, as an NFL fan, obviously the Super Bowl is the big event to end the season. It's what everybody aims for. The Daytona race gets played as the Super Bowl of stock car racing, and I assume you view it that way. Is it kind of weird that that's the way you start your season with what is the biggest event?
Yeah, it's different. You know, and I think what's interesting about, you know, NASCAR is that compared to other sports, all the teams compete against each other every week. So, you know, in football, all the teams are competing almost every week. You have a couple bye weeks, but with respect to that, they can only play one at a time, right?
Right.
At NASCAR, 40 teams compete against each other every week. Literally against each other. Where in football, you can only compete against one team at a time. So, you know, with that in mind, it certainly has different dynamics. It's a little bit more like golf, per se, where all the golfers compete against each other every week. And so, you know, we have playoffs. I'm not really sure we need playoffs, but we have playoffs. But the reality is that the Super Bowl became such a big deal because it was an opportunity to see the best play against the best. But in racing, you have that every week. And with that in mind, the first race or the first week of the season is really an opportunity for everybody to have, you know, we said it was 1 month off, but reality is it's 2 or 3 months to completely prep over the winter and bring their A game to a racetrack. And so that makes it the biggest race of the year because you've had the most amount of time to prepare for it. So I think it's different, yes. But I think it's a good thing.
All right, he is Brad Keselowski. They will be back on the track before you know it after that short off season down in Daytona and back here in Talladega very, very soon. Brad, thank you very much for the time. Have a great weekend. Best of luck this year.
Thank you, guys and gals. Appreciate your support of our sport. And we'll see you in Talladega. Hopefully we can win there again.
Yeah, let's hope so. We like you winning, man. You're good on the show. Thanks, man. Take care.
Thank you. All the best.
By the way, Geico 500 is April 26th there in Talladega. The Daytona 500 coming up in just a couple of weeks. Brad Keselowski with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. At your favorite retailer now in three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.
The Chiefs and 49ers will make their way to South Beach to Miami coming up this weekend. And then all next week, the lead up to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54. And we've got D'Amico Ryans on the show with us now. You know him from his times over at Jess Lanier High School, then at Alabama, then in the NFL, and now as a up-and-coming coach in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers, the NFC champions. D'Amico, welcome back to Birmingham. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. I know we saw you when Alabama was out there at the national championship in your stadium, but I was blown away earlier this year when Bruce Feldman of The Athletic listed 11 up-and-coming coaches to keep an eye on that are hot tickets in the NFL, and your name was on that list. I take it with the championship in the NFC going to the Super Bowl, that publicity from Bruce, sort of enjoying this coaching thing, aren't you?
Oh man, definitely enjoying the coaching thing. It's been a blessing. It's fun. I get to stay around the game and I get to mentor and help younger guys. That's the biggest reason why I got into coaching is that my way of giving back to younger guys, being able to help them not only be successful on the field but also off the field with all of the life challenges that they have as NFL players. Me going through it and understanding it, I feel like it's a good position for me to just screech back and help these guys with that as well.
You know, through 18 games, if you ask me one word to describe the 49ers, I would say physical. You've played on some physical teams. You've been around them. Is this maybe the most physical team you've been around, though?
Oh, no doubt. Definitely one of the most physical teams. And the thing about it is just the physicality shows up, but it's just the team speed. Everybody is running to the ball. If you don't run, if you're not showing up, you know, you're not going to make any plays. Guys are really competing with each other to get to the ball so they can make plays. So it's a really fun group to work with because the guys, I mean, they bring energy every day. They come to work every day. I mean, never a dull moment with these guys, and just love the way that they work. And it's just a really, really special unit we have.
D'Amico Ryans is with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. D'Amico, now the former Alabama great, an assistant coach there for the San Francisco 49ers, headed to the Super Bowl. He's an inside linebackers coach under defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, who has gotten a lot. I mean, there were people that thought he might get hired in this head coaching cycle, and he's one of the hot names at defensive coordinator. What has this guy brought to this San Francisco defense?
One thing that Saleh brings, he's just, I mean, he knows the game inside out. One of the smartest coaches I've ever been around from that perspective. And then the way he motivates the guys and gets them going, he's one of a kind as a defensive coordinator. So he's definitely, you know, unfortunately didn't work out for him this year, but he will definitely be one of the best head coaches in this league for years to come.
In this offseason, you guys went out and got Quan Alexander from over in Oxford, Alabama. How big of an addition was that? And in your role, are you able to talk to the GM and say, hey, I've seen this guy. This is a good guy to bring in. What was it like getting Quan on the team?
Oh, man, that's been the key to our defense. I mean, you talk about the energy and the leadership that Quan has brought to our team, because we're fairly a young defense. And Quan, you know, he's a young guy, but he has experience over there in Tampa. But bringing him here has been the key to our defense, just the whole mentality changing. The swagger, the energy that he brings has really rubbed off on all of our younger guys, and that's allowed them to play above and beyond. So getting Quan was just great. And also D4, another Alabama guy, adding D4 is just, I mean, those two guys have really took our defense to another level.
A lot of people believe this 49er organization was really reaching when they went and got John Lynch from the broadcast booth from Fox to actually run the day-to-day. What is it like working with John Lynch?
It's awesome because John, you know, being a former player, John gets it. And John is doing an outstanding job. He knows how to relate and talk to everyone. I mean, John has just really been key to putting this whole team together. And him and his staff, they've done an outstanding job. Whatever we needed when it comes to, you know, scouting players or having input as coaches on players, whether it's like a Quan or D4, like John truly listens and he gets it. So it's awesome having everybody here on the same page, from our GM, head coach, assistant coaches. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody has the same goal in mind. So it's easy to work with John. And it's fun because he just, you know, John is, he should be a Hall of Fame player, but he still has that love for defense. So it's always great talking to John, talking defensive ball with John.
Linebackers coach, San Francisco 49ers, former Alabama, Jess Lanier, great. D'Amico Ryans with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. But if I had walked into team meetings before the NFC Championship game and said, you're only going to throw it 8 times, is there anybody on that staff that thinks you could have won the football game?
Oh, man. We didn't think it would go like that. But we did talk about, right, our offense did talk about, you know, trying to get 40 runs. And, you know, we can get 40 runs, we're going to win this game.
But you did.
Nobody thought it would be nobody thought it would be 8 passes, though. So it was funny, man. I mean, it was beauty to see. Raheem Mostert has done an outstanding job on the offensive line. And just credit to, you know, Kyle for continuing to call the runs, even though, it's, you know, some coordinators have an ego where they have to throw the ball. Like, he just ran what worked. They couldn't stop the run, so we kept running it.
Well, do you have a coaching influence that it maybe influenced you the most? Do you find yourself on the practice field and you say, oh, I just said something Joe Kynes would have said? Do you use any of his old sayings?
Stop,
like,
that inside trap.
Stop the inside trap, or we gotta rake the leaves right here, boys, or whatever he used to say.
Man. Coach Kynes was the best. And Coach Kynes definitely was inspiration for me, just getting into coaching. Coach Kynes was, he's always kind of changed my mindset, not to only think about what I had as a linebacker, but what is the D-line doing? What is the secondary doing? You know, he always kind of shaped my mind in that fashion, and that really helped me a lot in my NFL career, and it really was one of the reasons why I got into coaching was definitely Coach Kimes. But one thing I can't emulate all the fans. He has so many. I can't emulate them all, but Coach Kimes is one of a kind. I love Coach Kimes. He's the best.
Now, San Francisco is apparently the most expensive city in America. Now, you know it's expensive to visit. What about living in San Francisco? Can you tell a difference?
Oh, huge difference. Huge difference. Oh, my God. We make a joke all the time that we pay for the weather out here. That's about it. it's definitely expensive out here, man. Huge difference. Not a lot higher than those Alabama prices over there.
Yeah, you get more for your money here in Birmingham, but
for sure.
do they have a bright star or favorite place you like to go eat?
Not really. Nothing like that southern food. I'm missing some. Need to get there pretty soon, but nothing like good old down home food there in the south.
Well, I'm dying to know your goals as a coach. I mean, Kyle Shanahan saw something in you. You're on that coaching staff. Bruce Feldman and other NFL insiders see something in you. Is the dream one day to be a head coach in college or the NFL?
Oh, for sure. That's always a dream. Like, for me, it's like whatever you do, you always want to try to excel at the highest level. Right now, it's just being the best linebacker coach I can be and, you know, taking that next step in a couple of years of being a defensive coordinator and then moving on up the ranks to be a head coach. Definitely a goal of mine, and really look forward to getting it done, whether it's on the college or pro level. I would love to be in position to work with young men and put a great staff together and see how far we can take it.
Hey, heads up, this Mahomes guy is pretty good. He can play, so... I don't know if you've seen film on him, but he can play.
Oh, man. A lot of late hours in the office trying to figure this one out.
Yeah. And Tyreek Hill's pretty fast. Yeah. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I saw.
I saw,
I can't remember who it was quoted, said it looked like they went to an Olympic track meet and put an offense together. I mean, that's what Kansas City looks like.
Man. Yeah. Hey, don't remind me. I've been watching it every day, but those guys are, you know, Kansas City, congrats to, you know, Andy Reid and those guys. They put together a tremendous team. Their team speed and with the athletic ability and the throwing ability that their quarterback has, like, there's no doubt it's going to be a really, really tough challenge for us. But those guys they're fun to watch. You're happy we just have to play them one time. But yeah. They're a fun team to watch. And they've done an outstanding job all year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that linebacking video on NFL Films later on, that linebacker room when you say, okay, guys, he wants to shadow Mahomes and make sure he doesn't go for a run in the Super Bowl. I'll do it, Coach. I'll do it.
I got him.
Yeah. DeMeco, thank you, man.
Oh, yeah,
We appreciate the time, and good luck to you. We'll be cheering for you down the road, and congratulations. I know a lot of people at Jess Lanier and Bessemer are very excited for your success. So continued success, and we appreciate you getting up early for us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for all the support back there, everyone back in Bessemer, Birmingham area. I really love you guys. Appreciate all the support you guys have for me.
Yep. Thank you, DeMeco. Best of luck, man. Take care.
Thank you. All right.
All right, that's the great DeMeco Ryans with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Your favorite retailer has it now. Three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories, 2 carbs, and gluten-free.
All right, it's four down times. Damian's going to give us the four downs. It is brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires.
Vulcan Tire and Automotive, 4 locations, Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. When you take your vehicle to Vulcan Tire and Automotive, they take care of your vehicle, so your vehicle takes care of you. They never recommend any service unless you request it or if the service recommended is to prevent further damage. All of their technicians, salary-based, not commission-based, very rare in the business. Again, 4 locations or online, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
Got a question about those Tigers. If Will, which one happens first? Will Wade goes to LSU, gets LSU to the Elite Eight, or Ed Orgeron gets the LSU Tigers back to the SEC Championship?
So just to the SEC Championship?
Yeah.
Just to the Elite Eight, Dunaway?
Yeah.
I mean, they could do that this year. That's a good basketball team.
Yeah, right now, the unbeaten in-conference play LSU Tigers
if Will Wade can hold on to his job, which he has, I mean, he has navigated some storms.
If they didn't get him last year, they're not going to get him this year.
I feel really good, his ability to coach, and guys he's bringing in the next 3 years, they'll be to the Elite Eight. I don't see LSU getting back to the SEC championship in the next 3 years.
In the next 3 years for LSU?
No.
I, too, would go Will Wade.
I think I would, too. I mean, this is a good basketball team. This is a potential. I mean, look, is
boy, wide we open all discredit that Ogeron Dole.
We do, but I'm just saying, as wide open as basketball is this year, are you telling me LSU couldn't be in the Elite Eight this year?
Oh yeah, easily, but they could also be one and done.
That's three wins, and that's hard to do.
It is.
Just ask Wimp. A lot of times to the Sweet 16, that's three wins you got to get. But this team is getting better. I mean, Watford is still
he's played well
transitioning from high school. He's getting better every time. He's played well from Mountain Brook. That's a good basketball team. If they get the right draw, they could do it this year. But to your point, to get to the SEC championship, you know, Bo Nix was only a freshman. He's going to be a sophomore, junior, and senior over the next 3 years. Did LSU lose so much that Alabama has passed him again? Is Texas A&M going to get better?
Mississippi State and Ole Miss have gotten tricky.
Yeah, so it's a tough road just to get back to Atlanta. I'll go Will Wade. We may be wrong.
Second down.
Better chance of happening. Antonio Brown plays another NFL game, or Art Briles coaches again in a Power 5 staff.
Yeah, Art Briles in a Power 5 coaching staff. What I was going to tell you, when you started out off Antonio Brown playing again in the NFL, I was going to say, no matter what you say after this, I'm going to take it. And then you said Art Briles. And with Art Briles, no matter what you said before that, I will take that. So I'll take Antonio Brown has a better chance of playing again on the NFL squad than Art Briles does coaching, even as an assistant at the Power 5 level.
The word staff there is interesting. He doesn't have to be a head coach.
Yeah, and I just think Antonio Brown, you know, this seems like a mental illness, and we love a redemption story. And at 31, he's still got a ton of talent. So if he somehow can get this back on the tracks, I would say Antonio Brown as well.
Third down.
More likely to happen, Kirby Smart gets Georgia to three or more college football playoff appearances, or Patrick Mahomes makes three Super Bowl appearances.
So we got 1-1 right now.
Ooh, I'm going Pat Mahomes.
I think I'll go Pat Mahomes, too. Yeah. I think I'll bet him before I bet Georgia and Kirby Smart.
He might go three in a row.
No, but look, Pat Mahomes, three more trips to the Super Bowl?
No, three total, right? We've already got total. One for each of these. Okay. So two more for Georgia, two more for Pat Mahomes.
Well, two's an interesting number. Three more, I would definitely take Mahomes out of the mix.
And Steve Young never did three.
Yeah.
I think, Elway did four?
And see, at some point, Mahomes can have diminishing skill set, and eventually he can't play anymore. Kirby Smart's a young man who can be coaching until he's old.
Yeah, he could coach 25 more years. Yeah, so Mahomes could have 8 to 10 more years.
I'm going to take Kirby Smart ends up with more of these than Pat Mahomes does. The question is, who gets it first? If you go who gets it first, Mahomes may get there first.
Yeah, I think both will get there, actually. Yeah, I do too. I think I would lean Kirby Smart.
Fourth down.
More likely in 2020, Arkansas has two conference games, or Alabama goes back to the college football playoff.
Oh, more likely is Alabama to the playoff. No, I mean, it is.
And it's Arkansas more winning two
conference games. Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, you didn't think about the high bar Arkansas is on now. They haven't won one in 2 years, and now we're talking about just going 2-6, that Alabama has a better chance. But I agree with you, Brown. I would go Alabama back to a college football playoff before Arkansas wins two games in conference.
I mean, Alabama has done that all but 1 year of the playoffs history, and Arkansas football has been – they've been down for quite a while now.
Yeah, two winless years. I'd go Alabama as well. That's four downs from Damien, brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tire.
Hey, winter weather in full effect. Is your car hesitant to start? Heat not working properly? Are you sliding on the road during rainy weather? These are things they specialize in rectifying at Vulcan Tire and Automotive. Four great locations and online, VulcanTireandAuto.com.
Tough start for Sam Pittman. I was just looking at this. They host Nevada week one. That's a bowl team. It's not a layup at a conference. Then you go to Notre Dame week two. At State week three, and the neutral site game against Texas A&M week four. You'd be going 4 pretty easily there.
College football, Chase Bryce is in the portal. Vandy is interested in him. He's got 2 years left. Four-star quarterback Jaren Williams, who looked so good on week zero opening night against Florida. Miami had some mistakes, no offensive line in front of him. Started 10 games for Miami last year with the announcement of Derek King to Miami. He's now in the transfer portal, and obviously with 3 years left to play, it'll be interesting to see where Jaren Williams ends up.
Follow the show on Instagram @JocksRoundtable.